It's good to see each and every one here this morning, and thankful once again for another opportunity to be in God's house and among God's people. I enjoyed the specials and all the songs that have been sung. They all have a common bond to them in a sense, and especially the last one. You know, I think that we have to be reminded from time to time, maybe not, but that we need him each and every hour. You know, David said over in place, he said, "I have set the Lord before my face, that I shall not be moved." And you know, I believe today that God was constantly upon David's mind and upon his heart. That's why the writer over in the book of Acts said about David that he was a man that was after God's own heart. And I know that he was full of mistakes and failures, but there was one thing that he did right at some point in his life. He looked towards a Savior, towards a Lord who was able to keep him and able to watch over him today. And so we're truly thankful, and we pray that God will always be before you all and just kind of the filter, so to speak. I think about that scripture that I've set him before my face, and it's not that we aren't aware of what's going on in the world or whatever the case might be, but may he be a filter to us, that we may see the lost as they truly are, see them the way that he sees them, that we might see the conditions of the world and see one another and all those that are in the world, that as he had love and compassion towards all mankind, may we have that same love and compassion. As we said before, we're truly thankful for this opportunity and for each and every one who have found it in their hearts to come out this way. Yes, it is our 50th anniversary, and I don't know why she puts up with me. I really can't tell you. That's why I said what I did. She probably deserves the Nobel Prize for, endurance and patience and everything else. But at any rate, I'm so glad for my companion and thankful for her. And I don't know where I would be without her. You know, she's just one that has, I really can't say enough about. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us over to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. In the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel, and we want to look at the 22nd verse, starting with our reading lesson there. And of course, this follows the feeding of the 5,000 by Jesus. People have asked the question, do you really think that he fed 5,000? Brother, I know that he did. Because there's nothing that's outside of his realm. The only thing that he cannot do, that God cannot do, is he cannot fail. And I'm thankful today that we have this proof. 5,000 are proof today of what Jesus can do. And also the writings of the apostles. But we find that after that, and this is where we're going to begin with our reading lesson today, in the 22nd verse, the Lord goes away unto a mountain somewhere to pray. And he sends his disciples out into the Sea of Galilee. And beginning with the 22nd verse, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now someone will say, how often did Jesus pray? And I cannot tell you an exact number. I know that the scriptures record many times, but I think that he was in communion with his Father continually as he was doing his Father's will. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he, that is Jesus, said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might but only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. If correctly read, this includes today the 22nd down through the 36th verses, 15 verses of the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew. We want to take for a text, if God would be our helper and allow us to speak for just a moment, in the 25th verse, where that it says these words recorded by Matthew. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I find in reading the scriptures today that the disciples and all of the apostles and all the people in that day and time were no different than you and I. Yeah, they spoke a different language. Yes, they had a different view about God. But you know, for the most part, down deep inside, human nature is always the same, always the same. No matter where you might go in the world, there is that of joy, of happiness. And then there is of sadness and of conflict and of fear. We're no different than some of them that live over across the sea from us. So we find whenever that we read this today, we're not reading about people that were in a far off land, different, you know, just, yeah, they're kind of out there, they're Jews and all of this sort of thing. But yet they were people that were just like you and I. And I want you to know today that whenever that we read about this, we find that they not only had their fears and everything, but sometimes whenever that there was no hope or there was nothing to turn to, they would with all of their heart turn towards God. You know, the Bible tells us that as these disciples went out into the midst of Galilee, and you know, for the most part, these were fishermen. They weren't navigators. They weren't people that were familiar with how to guide a vessel. They didn't have the instrumentation that we have in this day, in this time. I doubt very seriously if they had a compass. But you know, their boats were equipped only for the very reason of fishing. They didn't have that much in the way of navigating. They'd go out into the sea, they'd let down their nets, they'd pull out the catch, and then they'd go back to land. And then they would just, you know, kind of divvy it all out as to what was to be sold. But yet Jesus commanded them that they might go out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee. And I've never been there. I've seen pictures of it, and I've seen how vast that it is. It's more than just a lake. It is truly a sea. And as they were out there, there was a storm that came up. Unexpected. Have you ever been in a situation where that all of a sudden here comes a storm? You're not expecting it. You're not looking for it. But yet there it is, and you're in the midst of it. And you know, that's how that it is in life. We have problems that come upon us that we're not counting upon, that we're not looking towards, that we don't expect. And even though that for the most part probably we're one of the healthiest generations, or probably the wealthiest, and I say wealth from the standpoint of comparing us to other countries and comparing us to those that are less fortunate, you know, we're a lot better off than most people are, especially people like those that are going through problems in Maui at this very moment. You know, it's hard to believe that an entire island can be devastated the way that it is. But sometimes we find ourselves in that same kind of situation. We find ourselves in a storm, and we didn't ask for it. We didn't call for it, but yet it came upon us. And yet we have to kind of deal with it. We've got to do something about it. Because I want you to know that the troubles and the problems and the trials and what's going on, even in our own country, my friend, it can wear upon us continually, especially if we dwell upon it and we think about it just almost all the time. It can wear upon your health. It can wear upon your thinking, and it can wear upon your faith in God. But, you know, that's just our human nature. But these disciples were out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee when this storm that they weren't counting upon came upon them. And they were out there by themselves. It was night. Perhaps nobody else knew that they were in that kind of condition. But I want you to know that there's some scripture in here that tells us that Jesus knew about their situation. It's like today, He knows about your situation. He knows the problems that you go through. And you might say, well, I find myself just praying to Him continually about these issues that are going on with me. And that's what He's there for. That's what He wants us to do. And I've oftentimes thought whenever that He was in the mountain and He prayed and He looked and knew that the disciples were in great peril and in great danger, you know, I wonder if He was already back there praying for His disciples. You know that Jesus prayed for you? You might say, well, yeah, in a sense, He probably did. But no, He prayed for you in the 17th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And that's what I always call the true Lord's Prayer today, because He prayed for those that would come along centuries and millennium far past the present day in which that He lived. He saw you at one point, where that you would be out upon a sea, not Galilee, not necessarily the Mediterranean, not the Pacific, where that Maui is at, but He knew that you would be in a sea, and that at some point in your life, and maybe continually in your life, He knew that there would be problems that would arise. He knew that there would be things that would arise and come up that you didn't count on. And you know, I find that, you know, for the most part for us, we're either going into a storm, or we're in the midst of a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. Someone will say, oh gosh, preacher, I didn't come here to hear about how bad that it is and, you know, and how that I've got all these problems. But I want you to know, my friend, there's somebody looking from the mountain towards you who understands the peril that you're in. And I realize today that we grab a hold of something that will help us, that will save us, that will give us strength and give us faith and everything. And I want you to know, Jesus didn't just sit down there on the shore and say, well, you guys know more about fishing and running a boat than I do. You know, you'll get out of that storm. But you know, I want you to know that Jesus was one that whenever that there was a need. Yeah, when there was a need, there he was. Whenever that there was somebody that was sick, there he was. Whenever that there was somebody that was languishing in fear and weren't sure about their standing with God, Jesus somehow came along. And I want you to know, unto this church and unto those that are here today, you know, I don't know your situation. I don't know what is going on with you. But there's one today, my friend, that knows even better than you know yourself. And my friend, whenever that Jesus saw them and whenever that he realized and he knew that they were in peril, those little boats, they weren't made for storms. I don't know what we could compare it to. There's not many pieros around here like the people in Louisiana use. But, you know, they were probably very low. You know, they made those boats kind of like with low sides so that it was easier to get the fish up in there. But in a storm, there was no protection. Water would be coming over the side. And, you know, they're probably bailing it out just as quickly as they can. You know, is water coming over into your boat today? Is it getting impossible to bail it out? To get it out of the boat? And my friend, I want to tell you, it's that way for all of us. And someone will say, oh, preacher, you probably got it easier, you know, than the rest of us because you're so close to God and you read the Bible and you don't have any problems. I want to tell you something. I don't want to have a pity party, but we could sit down and then you could tell me your problems and I could tell you about mine. But I'm here to tell you about somebody who understands your problems even better than you know yourself. And you might say today, well, why are you preaching a message like this? Because, my friend, out there in the world, you're not going to find much help from this culture, from this society, from out there. And friends are good. And my friend, it's great to have a best friend or somebody you can sit down with and you can tell them about what's going on with you. That is great. And many times they are a godsend. They are sent by God. But I want you to know, my friend, when it comes right down to push and shove, there is not a friend likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother, I want to tell you something, my friend. He loved you even before that you were ever born. Did you know that? Someone will say, what manner of man is that knew about me before that I was born? Oh, he did. He did there with his Father and with the Holy Spirit, looked down through time and saw that not only would you be having your boat upon the sea and in the midst of a storm, but he knew one day you would need a Savior. And I want to tell you, my friend, there's not another name given among men whereby we must be saved. And someone will say, oh, preacher, Sunday after Sunday, you talk about Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus does this, Jesus died for us. Brother, I want to tell you something. I'm like the Apostle Paul that said over in Corinthians chapter, I can't remember the chapter and verse, but I can tell you this. He said, I've determined not to know anything among you or to preach anything among you or to declare anything in this world but Jesus Christ. And him crucified. He paid the supreme price, my friend, that was needed. Silver and gold could not redeem you from sin and give you the assurance of a home in heaven. Living a good life, And even baptism, my friend, can't give you that assurance that you're going to have a home in heaven. But I want you to know that Jesus can. I want you to know that I found him. In fact, if I live to August the 29th, not only will I get to celebrate my anniversary of my dear beloved wife, but August the 29th was the day that God saved my soul in the back of a store warehouse. And I want to tell you something today. Through the sea and upon the Sea of Galilee and the seas that are raging and going on and just conquering the soul and conquering reason. My friend, he has been the best friend to me, and all apologies, hon. But he has been the best friend to me because wherever I find myself, wherever that I am, and I get in trouble, and I have heartaches, and I have uncertain days, I want to tell you, he sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? I want you to know that no greater love hath any man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus, he went all the way. He laid down his life for each and every one of us today. And unto those that are lost and undone, that don't know him as a Savior and as a Lord, I want to tell you, not only is today the day of salvation, but I want to tell you this, you can find in him a Savior that will go with you all the way to the end. The Apostle Paul, before that he was executed, do you want to know what his last words were? Before that the blade took his head off of his body, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my soul and take my soul today. Brother, I want to tell you something. He'll go with you all the way down to the end. And my friend, it might be a hospital bed. It might be a bed at home. But Jesus will be there. And he comes walking upon the sea. Now, I've had people ask me, said, do you darn out now? You know, Cofer, you're really into this with science and all. Come on, let's be reasonable. No man can walk on the water. You really think that Jesus walked on the water? I most certainly do. Because I want you to know he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and he's Lord of creation. He upholds all things by the word of his power. First chapter of Hebrews and in the third verse tells us he upholds all things by the word of his power. Not only did he create it, he set it in motion. And I want to tell you something. I've sat and I'm not trying to make myself look smart or anything like that, but I've sat in labs and I've sat in places like that, and I've worked out formulas and seen experiments and even, my friend, seen the human body. And I want to tell you something, my friend, that people cannot see in that there is a divine creator that put it all together and he's upholding it with the word of his power, then truly it is what the Bible says in one place, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. David said over in the book of Psalms, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, sometimes whenever that I'm patching up somebody that, you know, just happened to be there, you know, I'll get to looking at the tissue and how it's put together and how that this did not happen by accident. This did not happen over millions of years. Somebody put some thought into creating this. Someone, my friend, far wiser and far more knowledgeable than any scientist or any wise man in this world. Yes, Jesus walked upon the water. I read something where that, you know, he knew that area and he knew where there were some shallow places. Well, yeah, he knew where there were some shallow places, but the Bible said he walked on the water. He walked on the top of the water. Why wouldn't one who helped to speak the world into existence not be able to walk upon the water? You know, one of the things he's walked upon the water in my heart. Whenever there have been impossibilities and there have been an outlook that didn't look very good at all, there he was walking upon the water. Then you know, whenever those disciples saw him, do you know they thought he was a spirit? Because it was dark, it was black, and here they saw him walking. And it's no wonder, and I probably would have said the same thing. My limited understanding and knowledge, I'd see, you know, a figure coming this way, walking upon water. You know, I probably think it was a spirit too. But he uttered these words, "Be not afraid." Elkton Church, be not afraid of what the world may throw and how they may stir up your sea and how that water may come into your boat. Don't be afraid. It is Jesus. It's not my friend this one. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. Any of those things. And I know there's probably going to be people that will watch this on YouTube that will say, "You're a racist." No, I'm not a racist. He's a savior for all mankind. But I want to tell you, he's the only one today. Someone will say today, "Oh goodness, you've just got Jesus on the mind altogether. Just Jesus on the mind. Jesus this, Jesus that." It kind of reminds me, you know what a Rorschach test is? Therapists use them to kind of determine a person's outlook and their capacity of thinking. There was a therapist that held up a Rorschach chart, and he said, "Now, what do you see in this picture?" Man said, "Elephant." He held up another one. He said, "What do you see in this picture?" "An elephant wearing sunglasses." Held up another one. "What's this one?" "Elephant eating bananas." And he said, "You know, you've got, why do you have this fixation with elements?" And the man said, "Well, it's not me. You're the one with the pictures of the elephants." "Oh, brother, I tell you what, whenever that I see the fingerprint of Jesus Christ in everything that I see. Brethren, I want to tell you something. The prophecies, I'll read the prophecies and think to myself, oh my goodness, Lord, you're going to have to go with us through all this that's coming upon us. But my friend, his thumbprint, his fingerprint is there in the pages of God's eternal word. His fingerprints, my friend, are upon creation. My friend, I've seen things in rocks and in trees and so on and so forth. They either look like a cross, or they look like three crosses, or they look like this or look like that. It always reminds me of him. I'm that way because he saved my soul. And I'm that way because he called me to preach his word and declare nothing but Christ Jesus and him crucified. But yes, my friend, he walked upon the water and they thought it was a spirit. That's all that they could decide that it was. And he said, "Fear not. Fear not." He says to Elkton Church, he says to Christian people that are here, he says, "Fear not. It is I." Now, if you look at that word, "it is I," it's the same phrase that God spoke to Moses whenever that he first called him, and he said, "I am that I am." Jesus, in essence, was identifying himself that I am God, and he is God today. He said, "I am that I am." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to preach this to you today. My friend, there's not a different way for people to find him and to be saved. There's only been one way for people to be saved, and that's in, by, and through him, and him alone. "Fear not, for it is I." And of course, the spokesman. And I identify probably with this man more than any other. He said, "Lord, if it's you," that's Peter. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you." And all Jesus said was, "Come." And you know, Peter did walk on the water. Someone will say, "Well, I thought only Jesus did." But he empowered Peter to do it. And I want you to know, my friend, there was a contingency upon that. As long as Peter kept his eyes upon Jesus, he would have walked all the way out there and embraced the Savior. But do you know what happened? He got to looking at this. He got to looking at the troubled sea over here. And he got to thinking and reasoning and instead of walking by faith. And I want to tell you something today. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We serve God in faith. We are justified before God by faith. It's not something that we have done. It's a grace that is given unto us, whereby we trust in the only saving agency that there is, and that's Jesus Christ. But my friend, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that will diligently seek him today. And as long as we keep our eyes upon Jesus, and as long as we're thinking about him, we're reading about him, we're praying to him. And I know sometimes, you know, a storm will come up or some news will come off of the internet that will just catch us off guard. But my friend, we've got to keep our eyes upon Jesus and not upon the storm. Look to the Savior and not the storm today. You know, I wonder whenever that Peter started to go down, people will say, well, Peter, if he drowned, he probably deserved it because he didn't have enough faith. You know what? There was a hand that reached down. And thank God for the hand of Jesus. Brother, I want to tell you, thank God for the hand of Jesus that reaches down from time to time. When I'm in despair, thank God for the hand of Jesus whenever that I don't understand my circumstances. I don't understand the storms. I don't understand why the things are happening the way that they are. Thank God for the hand of Jesus that reaches down and pulls me back up and sets me back in place and gives me the grace to be able to say, Lord, you've got this storm in hand. You've got this world in hand. My friend, you've got all circumstances, all problems, all troubles, every strife, whatever the case might be, you have got it in hand, and you are in control. And brother, when you read about the things that will happen, and we get terrified, and we start comparing it, you know, to the index, or we start comparing it to the news leader, or whatever that case might be, and say, oh yeah, you know, it says this, oh, what are we going to do? No, you don't get frightened about it. It's going just the way that Jesus, this the way the Lord, through his disciples, through his writers, just the way he said that it would. And he's in control. He's always been in control. Now, Jesus kind of goaded Peter a little bit and said, oh, ye of this little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What caused you to doubt? You saw me walk. You saw me come upon the sea. What's caused you to doubt? And I ask that of you. And I three fingers are pointing back at me. Why are we doubting what the Lord is doing and how that he's got it in hand? And brother, if he saved your soul and he saved you from the horrible pit today, my friend, why would we doubt these times that we are entering in? And you might say today, well, preacher, you've always said that we're in the end times. We certainly are. I believe that with all my heart. But why are we doubting? And whenever that we get that, the Bible says that the wind ceased and there was calm. And you know, for me, it wouldn't have mattered if it kept on lightning and thundering and whatever, as long as is Jesus in your boat today? Have you picked up Jesus along the way? Is he riding in the boat with you? Oh, I've got a speedboat, you know. Probably not very good for him. Well, it doesn't make any difference if all you've got is a boat with oars or whatever the case might be. The thing of it is to make the journey across Galilee with Jesus in your boat. And I want to tell you something. With Jesus in your boat, you don't need a life preserver. Now, don't tell the Corps that I was encouraging that. But in this boat of life, you don't need a life preserver, because if you've got Jesus, you've got a life preserver in there with you. It's Him. He preserves your life. He keeps your life. And you know, someone will say, well, oh, one day He's going to call me home. Bless God. You've been saved. That's one of the best things that will happen. Preacher, we know that you're mad. Your learning has made you mad. You know, to say that if you go home, that's the best thing that can happen. My friend, what does this world have to offer? Oh, my goodness. Watching things change the way that they have over 50 years, I begin to look forward to heaven. I begin to look forward to what John saw. And I believe John saw something today that my friend, tongue cannot describe, that eyes cannot even begin to visualize today. I believe he saw the glory of God like Ezekiel did and like Isaiah did. And he saw that in the midst of that throne of God, the four cherubims. And we're going to see them someday as they sing glory to God in the highest, as they sing, can't remember it now, but anyway, as they sing to each other, back and forth, glorifying the name of God. We're going to see that someday. You're going to see 420 elders as we gather around the throne that cast the crowns. They cast the crowns there at God's feet and at the feet of Christ Jesus. My friend, we're going to see apostles. We'll see Paul. We'll see Peter. We'll see John. We'll see all those. You'll see the preachers that stood behind this pulpit from time to time. You'll see preachers that stood before you in other places that declared the gospel of the Son of God. Is Jesus in your boat? I pray that He is. Because that's the only way you're going to make it across Galilee through this storm. I want to tell you, there's none other name. In Acts 4:12, it says, none other name given among men under heaven whereby that we must be saved. And you know, salvation is good. That's the primary reason why that we as a church are left in the world, is to declare the salvation of God into a lost and dying world. But you know something today? He said, I've come that you might have life, life more abundantly. We're going to take that news out to those that are struggling in the seas, that are struggling in a boat, where their boat's taking off water. Long time ago, whenever I was a kid, gosh, it was like Amazing Grace. Every time, and I didn't understand Amazing Grace back then, but they would always sing Amazing Grace in this song. And it was like, oh, please, Lord, don't let brother so-and-so call for that. But the song was, let the lower lights be burning. And that describes it to a T. He's the lighthouse. But we are the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a beam across the wave. Some poor struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Pray for the lost today. Pray for those, my friend, that they're taking on water and they're about to sink. Pray for those today that are lost. Pray for those today that even curse the name of Christ Jesus. I don't understand why. But my friend, pray for them that God will open their eyes and they'll see their lost, undone condition before Him. And God will convict them so deep that they'll call upon a name that they used to curse. They'll call upon a name of one that's walking out on Galilee towards their boat. They'll call upon the name of one that is the only one who can save. And I don't know anyone's heart. Maybe on YouTube. If you on YouTube are lost, you bow wherever you... Gosh, Kofi, you sound like a TV evangelist. You bow wherever that you're at. You call upon God, and you call upon God, and you pray until you know that Jesus has stepped into your boat. And anyone here, if you've got lost loved ones, you tell them. You tell them, if they're lost, to seek after Him and to bid Him come and get in their boat. Brethren, I don't think we've got much time left. But let's use the time. Let's redeem the time, as it says in the book of Ephesians. I'm thankful for this day, each and every one that is here. I love y'all. And I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that we can come together in spirit and in truth and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He's still upon the saving throne. You might say, how do you know that He's on the saving throne? Because, my friend, the throne of judgment has not yet come about. So He's on the mediatorial throne of grace, bidding sinners, bidding the lost, those, my friend, that are struggling in the sea, bidding them to come and to get into the boat with Him. And if you've not been saved, we want to encourage you. Get into the boat with Jesus. Or invite Him into your boat. We might have a song, and we might have a hymn. I'm truly thankful for this time. If you're here in need of prayer, we have this designated area up here called an altar where you can come and pray, and we'll pray with you. But there is one today, my friend, that prayed for you a long, long time ago, and His name is Jesus. And my friend, He's able to save to the uttermost those who will come unto God through Him.